This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
And welcome back. It's 208 here on WWL AM FM and .com. I'm your guest host for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Scoot will be back with you on Thursday. He's doing just fine, just taking a couple days off. He needs it. He works pretty hard. Hey, today at 4 o'clock, you can join Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier. They're out at the beautiful Silver Slipper Casino in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi for the second guest. They're sizing up the Saints' Week 3 performance against the Eagles. Woof. Plus, they'll recap LSU's battle with UCLA. 6:30, we got the Saints Coaches Show with Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, and head coach Dennis Allen. At 7 o'clock, you'll hear from tight ends coach Clancy Barone. And then we got Commanders at Bengals on for Monday Night Football. Rough stuff yesterday, man. Didn't love watching the Saints go down like that. You know, just like Bobby Hebert gave us this reminder. Hey, you know, welcome back to life in the NFL. I wondered if we weren't getting a little too hype. You know, you want the hype to be real, but most hype isn't real, I find. So, you know, here we are. I guess the hype wasn't all that real. Or maybe it is. I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell. Wasn't real yesterday.
I would say so, but then I have to remind myself that the defense did hold Philadelphia to 0 points like the entire first half. So right. There were some elements of, yeah, we're still some a fantastic scene. It just didn't execute correctly. So we still may be a top-tier team. I'm not going to lose hope just because of that one game, but we'll see what happens.
Me either. No, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to lose hope after one game. And, you know, I love the Saints. I want them to win. I enjoy watching the game, you know, kind of whether we win or lose. I just like cheering for the team. You know, I get emotional about it like everybody else, but I'm just glad that there's football to watch, because a lot of times out of the year, there's no football to watch, and I don't like that.
Well, you're very easy to please, Ian.
I am easy. I'm easy to please. I'm a people pleaser. Hey, we'll do the news bomb in just a couple minutes here, but I did want to clean up some of the phone calls we got left over from last hour. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, it was an interesting conversation with Dan Frumkin, who's an editor at presswatchers.org, and we talked about the sort of failure of these fact-checking outfits, PolitiFact and Snopes, and the little teams they got at the New York Times and the Washington Post. And you can go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app. You can rewind, or it'll be on our website pretty soon in podcast form. But a lot of people reacted to that on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talking Text, and I'll read some of those texts in a minute, but I did want to get to a couple phone calls. We'll go to line one, where we find Janice. Janice, it's been a minute. How are you?
Hello, Ian. It's awfully nice to hear you today.
And you as well, dear. You doing okay out there?
Yes, I'm doing all right. I just decided to call the show a little less lately. I had a reason for that, and it had nothing to do with you. If Miss Julie's listening, I don't know if she is or not. Hello, Miss Julie. I really like you. You're a real sweet lady. And I really think you're a very good lady.
I hope she's listening. I hope everybody's listening.
Yeah.
What got you calling in today, Janice?
Well, that man was saying something before about the number one issue. Number one, forget groceries and gasoline for a minute. Lives matter. All lives. Not just black lives, all lives. And lives are being lost each and every day in all 50 states at the hands of people that are coming here in a manner in which they should not. Not long ago, they got a guy at the northern border. He was from Iran, and he had terrorist ties, and that was the northern border. So people are coming in here from the southern border and the northern border. You know, I feel sorry for the two teenagers' parents. It was a boy and a girl. They were only like 18 years old. A few weeks back, maybe, I don't know, 6-8 weeks ago, were killed, a DUI. And then I heard they had a man from WGNO, a guy that worked at WGNO, He was killed over here on the bridge and everything. That should be the number one issue, is the open, and I stress open, border. Because while Scoot likes to ask people, how does this affect you? It could affect you, Ian. It could affect Scoot. It could affect anybody. Anybody can get hit by a drunk driver. I mean, now here's the thing. He always asks me this, too. Well, don't you care about, what about the people that are Americans being killed by Americans? I feel sorry for those people, too. And the perpetrators need to go to jail and get appropriate sentences. But the point here is, this is political, and there are many people right now in the moment as I speak that would still be alive today had it not been for people crossing that border that had no business being in our country. I am all for immigration. If it wasn't for immigration, I wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here, none of us would be here. But I am in favor of it being done in the proper way, so you have a criminal background check, a health background check, make sure you're not bringing diseases into the country, and things like that. I feel very sorry for people. You know, people have a Lake and Riley and all these people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just the other night. But, I mean, you know, they need to also mention, I mean, I'm thinking, yeah, what about the two teenagers and the guy on the bridge? Just the other night, and it was on Fox News. I forget which show it was. It might have been Jesse Waters. I don't know. But one of them, they mentioned somebody being killed here in our state by someone here illegally. And I do like Fox News. Yeah, there are some shows I don't care for that much and don't watch.
Sure.
But I do watch Newsmax. And I'm standing up for our country, our border, the safety of America, and that is what we should put number one. Just because someone you know has not been killed by an illegal yet does not mean it can't happen.
So
I pray to God it doesn't.
Janice, let me just jump in real quick, because, look, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm not finding a lot to disagree with you about here, yet it is self-evident to me that people who are killed by the actions of an illegal immigrant, whether that was purposeful or not, they would still be here if that person was still in Venezuela or Guatemala or Honduras, whatever. There's no reason to try to contradict that. You're correct. But I did want to ask you, you claim that the border is open, and I just, ma'am, color in for me, like, what you think that means. Do you think that whether it's out in the middle of the desert or it's at San Diego or El Paso, that people are just coming in here without any interfacing with Border Patrol or immigration or law enforcement at all? When you think about an open border in your mind, is that what you mean?
I don't know. I can't tell you with specificity and exactly how it works, but they're getting in here. They are getting in here. And Kamala Harris wants to defund police. She wants to abolish ICE. That woman is a socialist. She's not in favor of doing right by this country. And if we want that border to be in such a way that people cannot just come in our country, which they're doing, like I said, I don't know exactly how it works. I can't explain that to you. But they are coming in. I don't know, you know. But they are. Then we need to vote for Donald J. Trump. Put his personality aside. I don't like his personality. I truly don't. But I'm not inviting the man to my house. I'm thinking about what he can do for our country. I don't see anything he did that was wrong before. And that thing about, I'm going to be a dictator on day one. Yeah, and the next day, all the liberals had a hemorrhage over it. He did not mean that. It was a joke. He has a dry sense of humor. He said he was going to be a dictator just on day one. He was going to secure the border and drill baby drill. And the reason he said that was because they were all saying he was going to be a dictator.
He was making fun of them, is what he was doing. Janice, I got to pause you here. I've loved speaking to you. Thanks for getting in touch. I'm going to do the news bomb in a minute, but I just wanted to respond to something you just said about a Donald Trump's personality. And I've heard you say this before, where, you know, you don't like his personality. His personality sucks. I'm voting for him because of the policies. And ma'am, I don't know how you can do that. I really don't know how you separate what you call his personality from his policies. And I don't think Donald Trump's personality sucks. I think, like, Kathy Griffin's personality kind of sucks. Dennis Rodman's personality kind of sucks. In the fact that, you know, they're kind of obnoxious gadfly people. Yeah, I probably wouldn't invite them over for dinner either. But Donald Trump's personality is not just obnoxious. It's untethered from reality. If you ask him about his policies, his answers are literally all impossible to follow. If he was a poor person, he was living on the street, and he displayed this unassailable commitment to this fantasy world, he'd be brought in for a wellness check. He's not just an obnoxious personality. That's not just a quirk of his. His policies are bad because of his bad personality. But I didn't mean to get into all that today. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to get to you as quickly as we can. I do got to kind of do this news bomb. We're going to have to do this. You know what, Coleman? No, let's do this when we get back. We'll step away here. We'll do the news bomb. And then I'm going to get to your phone call. Stick around. I see you there. Thank you very much for your patience. And I am going to get to more of these text messages about who's got the best jail food. I'm getting some really good responses there, so keep them coming. If you've ever been in the clink, tell me what you ate. I'm Ian Hoken for...
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Scoot, be right back. 2:21 here on this Monday afternoon after a brutal Saints loss. We'll be talking more about that a little bit later. Right now, I got to get to the news bomb. We're going to take care of some quick headlines. I'm going to get back to your calls and your text messages. If you want to react to anything you've heard me say or Dan Frumkin say or heard Janice say, the new way to do it is 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jewelers talking text line. I'll talk to you as quickly as I can. But first, please, this. Jam. Will there be a second debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump? Probably not, but in this election cycle, anything is possible.
Vice President Harris says yes to a second debate. Donald Trump says no.
It's too late to do another. I'd love to in many ways, but it's too late.
Join me on the debate stage. Let's have another debate. There's more to talk about, and the voters of America deserve to hear.
It's too late. The voting is cast. The voters are out there.
The conversations that I think we should be having on substance, on issues, on policies. What's your plan? What's my plan? And we should have another one before Election Day.
Now she wants to do a debate right before the election with CNN because she's losing badly.
What if he loses? Would he run again in 2028? He says he doesn't think so. I'm Rita Foley.
The Harris campaign says Donald Trump should have no problem agreeing to this debate. It is the same format and setup as the CNN debate that he attended and said he won in June, when he praised CNN's moderators' rules and ratings. I don't think the argument that it's too close to the election is going to hold water. We've had debates closer to Election Day than that. Here's a report. According to the Associated Press, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are both seeking to expand their appeal in the final weeks of this fiercely competitive election.
As voting for the general election begins in some states, former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris are looking to blur the lines to woo independent and undecided voters. Trump says abortion laws should be left to the states, but says he supports a federal law to force insurance companies to pay for IVF. He also irked fiscal conservatives by suggesting the government cap credit card interest at 10%.
If Kamala Harris is reelected, she will kill the American dream forever.
Meanwhile, the Harris campaign has been trying to connect with moderate and disaffected Republican voters, with events on abortion rights, small business creation, and border security that feature Republican officials.
We've got a lot of good people in our country who want to work hard and do well and want a leader who believes that we are, you know, in this together.
Jennifer King, Washington.
Yeah, I don't love that report, and I'll tell you why. I don't think this is a good report. And this goes into what we were just talking about with Dan Frumkin. This is kind of horse race, both sides stuff. Because in what universe is Donald Trump trying to reach independent and undecided voters? He has never done that. Not in this campaign. Ever. That's not been part of the campaign strategy at all. Any political observer worth their salt will tell you that. That's what the J.D. Vance pick is about. There was nothing at the convention that suggested, hey, I'm trying to broaden this appeal to independent or centrist voters. And then what they mentioned in that report specifically is him talking about abortion, reproductive care, him flip-flopping on abortion every other day. That's not him moving to the middle. That's him just touching the stove over and over again and not understanding why he keeps getting burned. I'll believe it when, you know, a group of, you know, national security officials, former Democratic officials all sign this giant letter that say, hey, we're endorsing Donald Trump. Like, that's how you expand the margins. One of our top stories at WWL.com today is about Charles Bustani, who was in Congress for 12 years, a former Republican congressional person who's endorsing Harris. I don't see any evidence of that from the other side. Unless you count Tulsi Gabbard, which, okay. Hey, Kamala Harris is hitting Donald Trump pretty hard on the issue of reproductive rights.
Vice President Kamala Harris blasted former President Donald Trump as a threat to women's freedoms and their very lives. In battleground state Georgia, Harris pointed out the state allows abortions in early pregnancy only if it's to save the mother's life.
A doctor, a health care provider, will only kick in to give the care that somebody needs if they're about to die?
She told the story of Amber Thurman, who decided to have an abortion when she became pregnant again. She waited for more than 20 hours at a hospital for a routine medical procedure.
But it was too late. She died of sepsis.
Harris says Thurman's future was all planned out.
She was a mother and a daughter and a sister, and that she was loved. And that she should be alive today.
Harris says Republicans would continue to choke off access to abortion if Donald Trump returns to the White House. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Hey, we're going to talk more about this on Wednesday. Some of the issues arising from the Dobbs decision that undid Roe versus Wade are, yes, making it impossible to obtain an abortion if you want one. But they're also making it impossible for doctors to provide basic health care to pregnant women who are trying to have a baby. And whether you're pro-choice or pro-life or pro-abortion or pro-whatever, I that seems like something we can all get together on. Pregnant women who are trying to have a baby should have access to life-saving health care. And right now, in Georgia and in Louisiana and states beyond, they do not. Getting back to the border, Trump's goal of mass deportations fell short once before, but now he's got new plans for a second term.
Former President Trump says if he's elected in November, he'll launch mass deportations. And many experts are looking at what he can do under the law. The former president at campaign rallies has been attacking Biden administration border policies.
4 years ago, we had the strongest border in the history of our country. Now we have the worst border in the history of the world.
Donald Trump says if elected, he would invoke wartime powers to deport millions of migrants, relying on like-minded governors and using the military. A legal expert at New York University School of Law, Joseph Nunn, says it looks like that strategy is potentially legal, although it might be difficult to carry out. Under a 1798 law known as the Alien Enemies Act, and some experts think the courts might back him up. Trump says that he would focus on deploying the National Guard, which could be activated by a governor who agrees with his plan. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Well, we've come a long way from Mitt Romney's plan, which was for illegal immigrants to self-deport. Remember that? Wow, weren't we quaint? We're learning more about the man who staked out Donald Trump's golf course last weekend.
The man accused in an apparent assassination attempt on Donald Trump in Florida left a note indicating he intended to kill the ex-president. The Justice Department says the note was addressed "Dear World" and was in a box left at the home of a person who called law enforcement after Ryan Routh was arrested. The note says, "This was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but I failed you. adding, "It is up to you to finish the job, and I will offer $150,000 to whomever can complete the job." Routh also kept a handwritten list of dates and places where Trump was due to appear. The new allegations are in a memo filed before a hearing today, where the government's expected to argue Routh should remain locked up. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
That's sick and really scary to me. I'm really sad that this is our country right now. This is not the country I expected to live in when I was a young person, still somewhat young, and here we are. I hate this. I hate it. And also, part of this story is a little bit confusing. Like, that note that this would-be shooter, he dropped that off at his friend's house months ago. So how could he have known ahead of time that his attempt was going to fail? Unless he always intended it to fail. Keep an eye on that. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson caved on that spending bill showdown, at least for now.
Congressional leaders have announced a spending agreement to keep the government funded until mid-December. Time was running out, with a new budget year starting October 1st and no deal in Congress on how to fund government agencies. House Speaker Mike Johnson told lawmakers in a letter, "This compromise budget package will be very narrow, bare bones, and it includes only funding extensions that are absolutely necessary." Johnson, who had unsuccessfully tried to link a stopgap funding bill with a proof of citizenship requirement at polling places, was under pressure to avert a government shutdown with less than 40 days to go before the presidential election. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And that'll do it for the News Bomb today. I don't have another scheduled interview until about 3:25 or 3:30. So if you want to get in here and talk to me about anything that we've discussed in the News Bomb or anything from last hour or anything that's on your mind, really, we'll do it. 504-260-1870. I did ask earlier on in the program which jail has the best food. And I've got some great responses here. Here's one that says, "I had the pleasure of visiting OPP back in the 70s. I was arrested for an expired driver's license, an expired brake tag, and expired license plate. I do not believe auto insurance was mandatory back then, but I was only in there for 1 hour, so I never got one of those famous or infamous bologna sandwiches." Here's a text that says, "My friend spent time in Angola, and he made a thing that he calls the hookup. It's an open Dorito bag made into a bowl, summer sausage pieces sprinkled in with jambalaya mix and microwaved to perfection. We eat it with him when we see him just to be silly, but it's really good. 5 stars. He also said blue Skittles were sometimes used as eyeshadow."
I can see
eyeshadow.
That. I can see that. But Ian, to be fair, in order to judge which prison or jail has the best food, wouldn't that mean the person would have to have been incarcerated in multiple jails?
Yes. Yes, it would.
If you've only been to one, it doesn't really count, right?
If we're going to compare and contrast the different jail foods, man, this person's got a rap sheet. So I don't know. I mean, I know there's folks listening that have been to jail for one reason or another, and they want to share some of the stuff they ate. Would you eat the hookup, an open Dorito bag with summer sausage, jambalaya mix?
No, I would not. No, we're not.
You had me until you said we're microwaving it. Like, don't microwave a Doritos chip bag.
Is microwaves in jail?
No, I think I don't know. I didn't have a microwave in my little jail cell when I was in there for, 8 hours.
I also want to know, after they use the blue Skittle, and I'm assuming they lick it to moisten it, and then the dye comes off.
I guess.
Do they, after they rub it on their eyes for the eyeshadow, do they then eat it?
Eat it, dude. Skittles aren't easy to get in there, Carmen.
I wouldn't know if I wanted a Skittle that's been in my tear ducts in my eye and just pop it in my mouth like that. It's
I don't know.
Add salt to it.
I don't know, man. I think after you've been in jail for a little while, you kind of can't be super choosy about stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know. It's possible. Here's a text that says, "My friend was once a guest of OPSO, that's the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office. Someone there showed him how to turn a bologna sandwich into a burrito. You remove the bologna and the dressing, moisten the bread, press it flat, and then roll up the bologna and the dressing in it. Why don't you just eat the sandwich? If you didn't add or subtract any ingredients, you just turned a sandwich into a burrito for the hell of it. You got to put something else in there, I would guess. I don't know, just eat the sandwich. Here's a text that says the Lafayette Parish Jail had crawfish etouffee for my first meal.
That's a luxury meal.
Bro, are you telling me if you get a Dewey in Lafayette, they give you crawfish etouffee?
Clearly, I guess. I've never been, so I wouldn't know, but
I don't know about all that. Maybe someone else can confirm or deny that.
Well, that also makes me wonder, Ian.
What?
If you were on death row, what would be your last meal? Like, if you had a choice, like, what would you want for them to cook for you before you pass, you know, before they strap you to the chair or inject you, whatever they do?
Oh, a cheeseburger.
That's it?
Fries?
I would slap it on because I'm thinking to myself, the longer it takes to cook, the longer I have to live. So it's like, what's your last meal? I think of the most complicated foods. But I guess I'd go out with a Wendy's Baconator, like the quadruple stack Baconator.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Or that, what's the one with the pretzel bun? I had one of those.
I've never had
that.
I'm at the
Go get that. Go get a pretzel bun thing. And they also got the Frosties for a buck, in case you didn't know. Here's a text that says, Kool-Aid non-dairy creamer makes Laffy Taffy in jail. And that goes for big money. Yeah, see, this is where everybody in jail, like, I mean, I'm kind of projecting a little bit here. But you must have a role to play, right? Like, there's the person in jail who, like, knows how to take all the commissary food and make it into something more fancy, right?
So if they can figure these things out in jail, I'm wondering, why not apply that chemistry or those sciences to, like, everyday life that could benefit humanity? Because it seems like there's a lot of people in jail with skills that bewilder me. Yet I'm free as a bird, and I'm thinking they probably be better off helping out society while I'm over here, you know, goofing around, you know, playing on the radio. And
is that what you think we're doing here? We're goofing around? We're just having a goof?
You know how they say, well, you know, once you pick a job that feels like it's fun, it's not a job.
Yeah, I know. Once you pick a job as fun, you'll never work a day in your life. All right, if you want to text me more about jail food, the lines are open. Let's get back to the phones. And LaJean, yeah, I gave you kind of a short shift there, LaJean. You wanted to finish up your thoughts. We spoke at the end of last hour about lying in the media and what's happening in Springfield, Ohio. Let's continue that briefly, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hey there. Thank you so much. Sorry, I'm getting in my car. I'm actually in airline vacuuming my car. Car wash.
All right.
Multitasking. First of all, now that we have more time, I just want to say that I make a part of my media routine listening to you and Scoot, and I totally admire that you guys have your own, you know, opinions and political beliefs, mm-hmm. but that you open the floor up to anybody to call in and have a discussion. And I feel like that's something that is less current today. And so I applaud that. And I just think that it's wonderful. And I feel like that's what true Americans and democracy
that's great.
Is about.
LaJean, I'm going to let you continue, but let me just respond real quick. That's, you know, Scoot's philosophy is slightly different than mine, but we're definitely in agreement about we are absolutely eager to have a conversation with anybody that agrees with us or disagrees with us or that's, you know, way out in, you know, in the weeds. We know what a service it is to provide a platform for those conversations to happen, because that's pretty rare. I mean, talk radio has always been a place where people could kind of call in, but I think most people kind of skip over that when they think about their media diet. They think about their media diet being just, what am I going to ingest? What am I going to view? Not what conversations am I going to participate in? So I'm glad that you like that we do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I try to do, because it's too easy to only listen to, you know, the side that you like. And then I just feel like having a broad perspective is good. So going back, so that I don't dominate your call time, going back to the conversation about Springfield, Ohio, mm-hmm. I completely understand your point about how if it's not affecting you directly, you know, we're here in New Orleans, what's happening in, you know, Middle America, how does that affect us directly? But the issue for me is that I did listen to an interview with one of the town administrators, and he was talking about how a lot of the funding for the town that traditionally went towards its residents are being reallocated to the Haitian immigrants. And this is no slander towards Haitian immigrants. I actually have Haitian blood. I know I did 24andMe.com. But anyway, My point is, it's not about that. It's about having systems in place so that the residents of that town can actually not be affected negatively. Also, a lot of the jobs are now going to the Haitian immigrants, so that is unemploying the residents that were there first. So it's not that it's against immigrants. It's about, let's have a plan and let's not be sort of taken off track and not understand how our own rights as Americans are being disrupted. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the other part of the conversation I wanted to have, and I'm very interested to hear, you know, your thoughts on all of this. After the whole debate debacle happened last week, my husband and I were on a trip. We were in Buffalo to go see this amazing concert with Willie Nelson and John Mellencamp and Bob Dylan. Amazing.
Wow.
In any event, we were staying. Yes, it was so amazing. Outlaw tour. Look into it. We were staying at the Aloft Hotel in Buffalo across from the airport. And my husband noticed this shanty type motel next door, and he was curious about it. So he went after he picked up his coffee and went next door and looked at it. And he was aggressively halted by security guards that told him that he needed to leave immediately. And there were National Whoa. Guard there holding their guns. So my Whoa. Husband is a curious person, and he was like, oh, well, I'm just curious what's going on here. And they were like, you need to leave immediately. I was not there. He's relaying to me, but I kind of trust the guy. I've been with him for 24 years. What ended up happening was they called the police on him. We were in the hotel lobby trying to make sense of what happened. He told them, I'm staying next door. I don't want any trouble. And he wanted to stay in the lobby because he wanted to properly represent himself, which was just someone that was curious about what was going on. So the cops came. It was three of them that were interviewing us. And my husband explained to them what happened, and they said, you just need to stay away from that location. And I asked him, you know, well, how could he have known? There was no signage or anything. Mm-hmm. And they said, the moment you saw a National Guard, you should have known to leave. Now, the National Guard is here to protect Americans. What was happening in that motel is that they were storing immigrants, mm-hmm. and they're feeding them, and they're sending their kids to school. And I know this because they called my husband a pedophile because he was taking a picture of the car outside with the license plate as nice. Some sort of documentation, and they came running out calling him a pedophile. There were no kids in the picture. I can text you the picture. And then after that, kids came out to get into the vehicle to be driven off to some sort of education facility, we're guessing. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is that this stuff is actually happening, and we're not hearing about it in the news, and it is upsetting when I feel like immigrants might have more rights than we do. The National Guard was protecting them, and we had the cops called on us for being curious.
That's pretty disturbing. Whack. Yeah, I don't love that for you, LaJon. Look, let me kind of respond in order here. So going back to what you saw, what we see on Springfield, I didn't get to hear or watch the interview that you did with that town official, so I can only kind of guess at what the details that they spoke about were. But you mentioned the word, you know, unemploying people that work there. It shouldn't surprise anyone that if you have, you know, many thousands of new people coming to a community specifically there to fill empty job positions. That is what the Haitian immigrants were drawn there to do. And officials in Springfield, Ohio, and at the state level in Ohio, put that kind of incentive into place because this was an area of Ohio that was kind of underperforming economically. And they said, oh, we just get some new warm bodies in here to fill some of these jobs. Like, that's why they're there. And we've been saying this on WWL for some time. Like, these Haitian people didn't just throw a dart at a map and it landed on Springfield. They were incentivized to come there. So, and I guess I would say it's unfortunate for the people that lost their jobs, and the person that took that job was a Haitian immigrant, but that's the free market. You know, I'm not really sure what to tell you. It wouldn't surprise me if that happened. I hope it's not happening at this enormous scale, but you know, that's just a job market. And it is also true, certainly, the arrival of this large group of migrants, legal migrants, have placed strain on the services that, you know, officials, health officials, public safety, the schools in this community, they're finding themselves unable to kind of keep up with demand. And that sucks. Someone should do something about that. The officials in Springfield should do something more. The county level officials, state level people in Ohio, they should be doing more to accommodate the fact that there are many tens of thousands of more residents in that city that weren't there before. As to your story about the hotel, that sounds pretty whack. I agree that the National Guard probably did not need to be quite so aggressive with your husband. I'm not sure why they called him a pedophile. That all seems a little bit strange to me. But that is something we talk about in the news. That is something that you do hear about in the news, is that, you know, migrants are often housed in hotels or motels. And I think that presents kind of an uncomfortable situation for some people. But the alternative is them being on the street, which is a public safety issue for them and everybody else. So if we got to put them up, you know, in a Best Western for a couple weeks or a month until they get on their feet, we got to do it. LaJean, I really did enjoy speaking with you. Thank you for listening and understanding kind of what we do here. I got to step away. I'm pretty late. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls and text messages on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talking Text Line. That number is 504-260-1870. I see Mike, Frank, JR, and Glenn, and a couple more. We'll get to you as soon as we can. I'll be right back. Man, I love this song. That's Shaboozy. Which I think is a delightful name for an artist. Shaboozy. A bar song. Tipsy. Hey, LaJean just texted back and she said, hey, it was the security people at the motel that called my husband a pedophile, not the National Guard. It's important to me that the facts aren't misrepresented. Okay, good. Thank you, LaJean. Yeah, I was curious about who exactly called your husband a pedophile. I wouldn't stay at that motel again. Yikes. James on the North Shore is listening, and he says, people always call in and say how we need to stop helping immigrants because we need to help our poor people here. If they truly believe that, why let the taxes expire in Louisiana next year? They're clearly helping more than just our poor in Louisiana. Yeah, this is another, people are like, people will say to me, or they'll say to Scoot, I don't know why we're helping these immigrants instead of the veterans. And then it's like, well, you look at who are the people that are getting in the way of the social services programs. You know, it's really just one party that's usually doing that doesn't want to spend money on social services for veterans and poor people. So I don't know why we can't do both. Still getting a lot of good text messages about jail food. Damn, some people that I recognize their phone numbers on here. I'm learning a lot about our audience today. Some folks been in the clink that I might not have guessed. I won't name any names, but some that might be familiar to you. I'll just read one quick one here. Hey, fellas, while on my vacation time, I'd go to commissary and stock my Foot Locker with my goodies. I'd make my famous and delicious burrito pie. The ingredients were 2 bags of crunchy cheese curls, ramen noodles, I prefer the beef flavor, 1 sausage link or chicken, if you had that hookup from the kitchen employees, and a sandwich bag. You mix the crunched up Cheetos, ramen noodles, and hot water, mix together thoroughly, flatten the sandwich bag to a desired thickness, and then cover with a towel under your pillow for about 5 minutes or until firm. Get your favorite drink, sit at the table with the TV, and go to work. I would eat that.
Dude, I swear there's a whole culture inside of jail and prison that we are just grossly unfamiliar with. Because I'm thinking about all the recipes, like Doritos Dust and Slim Jims.
Yeah.
But then I think about the people that come out of prison, they're athletically swole. It's like, what are they eating? Like, what's in their regimen? But now I'm realizing maybe it is the bootleg Laffy Taffys with the Dorito Dust and Skittle eyeshadow that makes these guys so buff.
I don't think much of the prison food is healthy. I mean,
I can't tell, because like I said, the people that come out of prison, they look like football players sometimes.
Even I know that if you're about to go do a stint in jail, you load up on fresh vegetables and fruits and nuts and healthy stuff like that. Because, you know, the best you're getting in the clink is like canned peaches or whatever, right? Let's take one quick phone call. Thank you very much. I'll read more of your prison food text later. Let's get to Mike in Lakeview. Mike, you're on the air. Good afternoon. I got a hot minute for you, bud.
Well, hey, first thing, the girl who died with that pregnancy, she took a crazy-ass drug that didn't work that made the baby half die. The doctors who tried to save the baby, they tried for 10 hours to save the baby. It has nothing to do with what they're doing. Now, let me pivot. The way you talk to my friend,
okay.
The old lady, the old lady, she is my friend. I've been listening to her on the radio for 20 years. I love her. Everything she said is true, and y'all are all crazy.
Cool. Thanks for participating, Mike. I'm going to have to read into the crazy-ass drug that Amber Thurman took. That's not the... I'm going to have to check into that, Mike. It doesn't quite pass the smell test, but, more research is needed. We'll step away and come back with more of your calls and texts at 504-260-1870. If you want to react to anything you've heard me say or Coleman say or Mike in Lakeview say, 504-260-1870, ways to do it. I'll be right back after this. Okay, we're going to clean up a little bit of what Mike just had to say about what happened to Amber Thurman with help from Rebecca on the West Bank, who texted in and said, the baby didn't half die. Fetal tissue was expelled and it was not complete. Ordinarily, a DNC would be done, but doctors would not touch this woman until she was septic and dying. And by then, it was too late. Rebecca is correct. That is what killed this woman. The doctors would not perform this procedure to get the sort of leftover fetal tissue in there. They wouldn't do the DNC to get that out. And the woman became septic and her organs started to fail one by one. And the doctors had to make a decision about, well, how many organs are going to fail before we jump in and help this woman out? Because we don't want to do the DNC so early that somebody says we actually just performed an abortion and now we're looking at a decade in jail. This is a screwed up set of rules. And this is what we're going to talk about on Wednesday. We're going to get into the weeds on this issue on Wednesday. Again, it's not pro-abortion or pro-life or pro-reproductive rights. This is about women who are trying to become pregnant, who cannot get the health care they need because their doctors are afraid that they're going to run afoul of abortion laws. That is a solvable problem for people who are interested in solving it. We'll talk to some of the people who are interested in solving it right out of the gate on Wednesday. Also, I looked it up, and that crazy-ass drug that Amber Thurman took was mifepristone, the abortion pill, the same one that everyone uses, that's been legal and safe in America for like 30 years. So I don't know what the hell Mike's talking about, but it ain't the truth. Back after this.